Now when I was a young man, I carried me pack, and I lived the free life of the rover. From the Murray's green basin to the dusty outback, I waltzed my Matilda all over. Then in 1915, my country said, son, it's time to stop rambling, there's work to be done. So they gave me a tin hat and they gave me a gun, and they sent me away to the war.
A beautiful lilting tune, Liam Clancy singing, and it's the request of my guest. He's a chef, he's a restaurateur, he's a legend of food, he's a man once described as the godfather of modern cooking, Marco Pierre White. Marco, godfather, how does that sit with you?
It's a label created by the media. Lots of chefs have contributed lots to the world of gastronomy. And when I entered the world of gastronomy, I saw the tail end of Escoffier's world, where things really hadn't changed for decades. The man, in my opinion, who really changed gastronomy was a man called Fernand Poin, who had a three-star restaurant called La Pyramide in Vienne, which is just outside Lyon. Mm. And he was the creator of La Cuisine Nouvelle. He changed everything in the sense that he respected classical cuisine, but he lightened it. And that's all La Cuisine Nouvelle means. It means classical cuisine with the concept lightened. And so I took great inspiration from his book, Ma Gastronomie, when I was a boy. It was more a book on stories than recipes. The one thing I took from that book is perfection is lots of little things done well.
That's in the reading I've done around you and your work, a word you use a lot is correct.
Because I believe in correctness, even though I may have been described as an enfant terrible, a rock and roller, you know, like Anthony Bourdain said. You know, he created history. He was the first rock and roll chef. The truth is, I was never a rock and roller. My true nature is that of an introvert. And I tend to hide. I'm very rarely seen in public unless I'm working. Because what I've learned in my life, that privacy is freedom. I crave ordinary. I don't want fame.
And I see from that choice of song too, the touch of romantic in there as well.
Well, it's one of my favourite songs. It's like, the song I was thinking of was The Fields of Athenry, which is very beautiful. And for me, life's all about the emotional impact, whether it's a piece of music, whether it's a person, it's whether it's a building, whatever, landscape. It's how it impacts on me emotionally. Even with food, when I taste food, it's about the impact it has on me emotionally. The reason why I chose that song today, or the inspiration for choosing that song, was my friend's daughter's looking after me, and she's called Matilda. And she told me this morning that I've got to choose a song, and I was thinking of EMI by the Sex Pistols. I thought of The Fields of Athenry, and then that's why I sent you a choice of two songs, and you chose Waltzing Matilda.
I think we did well.
And Liam Clancy delivers it so beautifully.
You once made Gordon Ramsay cry.
He made himself cry.
Go on.
You do that to yourself. No one has the ability to make you cry. It's whether you allow it. And so sometimes in life, especially in a kitchen, you have to contain your emotions. Yes, I cried some nights after tough service, but I made sure that I did it when I was walking home.
What's the nature of that business that it is played out so much at an emotional edge?
Well, the one thing you've got to learn in a kitchen is like that very first night on the 20th of March, 1978. It was 6 o'clock in the evening. I'd worked since 7:30. I'd had no break. And that day I did break down and cry. I got cramp in both my arms because I'd used muscles I'd never used before. I was very emotional and very broken, but I held it together. And at 6 o'clock, my chef de partie, a man called Michael Truelove, he said to me, "The first thing you have to learn about service, Marco, is service is service. It's never emotional. So when the chef screams at you, when he swears at you, it's all about delivering food and delivering food consistently. Contain your emotions. Teach yourself to absorb pressure. If you can absorb pressure, then you can continue to deliver consistency. And it's all about consistency. It's never personal in a kitchen. And that's what the public don't understand. They think they're madhouses. For 2 hours a night, they're madhouses. because you have to deliver standards within a time frame to those customers who are paying their bill with their hard-earned cash. And so therefore, it's all about care. It's not about being personal. Emotions are for the bedroom. They're not for the kitchen.
Is there a kitchen? Is there a place in that history, in kitchens and food, that is a formative place for you?
If I think back to when I was a boy, and now I think back, I've got to a certain age in my life, and I reflect. Had you
what
asked,
a grand age to be, the reflective age.
Well, I've started to become nostalgic in my old age. That's one thing that happens with age, is... had you asked me 20 years ago who influenced me the most, I'd have said Kaufman, I'd have said Raymond Blanc, I'd have said the Roux brothers. But actually, that's not the truth. The truth is it was the boys of the Box Tree in Ilkley in West Yorkshire. They had a little restaurant with 2 stars in Michelin, one of only 4 restaurants in Britain to have 2 stars in Michelin. In those days, there were no 3 stars. And those two, Ben, and the head chef, Michael Lawson, and Mr. Lamb, who was the baker, the cake maker, and after staff tea, he was the head waiter. those men are the men who inspired me. They really did inspire me. And then, fueled by that fear of failure, fueled by insecurities, that want to be accepted, that's what drove me. And yes, I had my dreams, and my dreams were impossible dreams, really, because I came from very humble beginnings. And
well, you say you sort of fell into this. It's an accident of trade and class and craft and parenting.
Well, number one, as a child, I don't know if you knew, but I lost my mother when I was a young boy. Mm. And being half Italian in the 60s, 70s, you weren't accepted. You were a spig, you were a wop, you were a coward. And so all I ever did in life was that want to be accepted. And those Michelin stars which I won, which have no value
first
to me today.
First British chef to do
but
that.
But it has no value. They were just stepping stones to where I wanted to go in life. And that want to be accepted. You know, I became someone I never wanted to be. And
couldn't you stop that?
I hadn't realised my dream. You have to realise your dream. Once I'd realised my dream, then I put myself out to graze. As I say, I'm an introvert by nature. And I spend my life, when I go back home to England, I go back to my little farm and no one sees me. Sometimes I don't leave my home for 20 days. I just stay at home.
I wonder if it's a good cover for an introvert to have that focus on process, on things being done in a particular way, you know, that aren't sort of an invention of yourself. It's doing it like this, like this, like this. You can hide within that.
Everyone measures success in a different... You know, I don't measure success by the amount of materialism a man has. I don't measure success by how wealthy you are. For me, success is it's self-discovery. And I think by discovering yourself, then you're given the opportunity to accept yourself. You give then, once you've done that, once you've accepted yourself and what life may have done to you or given you, then you give for the right reason. You accept for the right reason. You fall in love for the right reason, not the wrong reasons. And, you know, the truth is I've never been happier than I am in my life today.
It's interesting how you've cooked on TV yourself, but the way in which food has become bundled up with celebrity, with entertainment, and in not necessarily negative ways. It's introduced new ideas around food to a whole range of people who may never have been exposed to that otherwise.
It really is about inspiring people, and as I've realised, gastronomy is without question the greatest form of therapy any misfit could ever be exposed to. I was that beautiful misfit where, you know, I was catapulted into the toughest of kitchens when I was 16 years old at the Hotel St. George in Harrogate. And the truth is, had I not gone into that really tough kitchen, had Michael Truelove not given me that advice at 6 p.m. on the 20th of March, service, I would never have won 3 stars. They taught me how to use a knife. They taught me how to multitask. They taught me how to run. Okay, I used to run to the betting shop for the chef with his bets and back again to William Hills. They taught me how to absorb pressure. They taught me how to express, and that's the beauty of it. If you're born an introvert, then you talk with your fingers by what you put on your plate. And that's the beautiful world of gastronomy, is it allows you to express yourself, even though you may not have the voice to express. And if I think back to those days, when I entered the industry, it was blue collar. Everybody was, all the boys and all the girls in that kitchen were from humble beginnings. And today, you walk into a kitchen and there's lots of middle-class kids. It's a very different world.
You still enjoy the experience of dining, of being in a place where they are providing you with that service?
I like hanging out with chefs.
Okay, even
that's
different.
Even to this day, I'm more comfortable in the kitchen than I'm out front.
It must be a shock to a chef to see you roll up.
It's interesting. It's like today I was just in the street and this young man walked up to me. I was standing outside the hotel where I'm staying, and he came up to me, a nice boy called Carl, very polite, and he said, "Chef, I'd just like to say hello and shake your hand." I said, "That's very kind, Carl." He said, "But I'm not allowed to talk to the customers." I said, "Well, let's walk up to the street corner." And he had a fag in his hand, and "Let's have a fag." That's what he said. "I've got my book, White Heat, in the kitchen. I got my mother to send it when I found out you were coming to the hotel. Could you sign?" I said, "Of course." You know, beautiful young man. And, you know, travelled all the way from England to learn his craft in Melbourne. And what he spoke about, the food scene in Melbourne, was really beautiful.
It's not a bad place.
No, it's sort of, for me, it's San Fran of Australia. It's very cool. And by the way, San Fran is my favourite city
in America. We'll take that, yes. Mark, I think it has been a privilege and a pleasure.
Well, can I just say thank you for your time, and I hope I didn't bore you and your listeners too much.
But it's
a beautiful tune.
I'll be the judge of that. Marco Pierre-White, now he is in Australia for Good Food Month. There's a series of events, and you will be fascinated and intrigued by them. We will put a link to all that necessary information up on the Blueprint page on the RN website. It'll all be there for you. Marco, thank you again.
Thank you for your time, sir.